listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I think that the whole omission, like who was left off and then who shouldn't have made it, is something we should look at with the perfect eight. Because there's just so, you know, there's so many people. I think they went too deep in every position. You know, who is the 49th person that should have been on, you know, whatever. I'm not sure that's as important, though. If you guys have that, I'm fine with it. But the eight I find to be very interesting and where I got some major disagreements. So those eight, do you have the perfect list in front of you, Jonas?
You mean the unanimous selections?
Yeah.
Tom Brady, Adrian Peterson, Joe Thomas, offensive tackle, Marshall Yanda. On the defensive side, J.J. Watt, Aaron Donald, Von Miller, and then special teamer Justin Tucker, the kicker from the Ravens. Those were all unanimous selections.
Okay, so we're going to talk about Drew Brees. That's the obvious one. He didn't make any of the list. Let's set that aside for a second. Also, we're going to talk about, I find it interesting, if you actually look with the whole Peyton Manning debate, it's very clear. We'll talk about that. But first, though, and we'll do one now and one after the break. So, Jonas, if you've got one, or Fez, whoever's stronger with your opinion, say, it's me, baby, is amongst the eight, I'm going to call them the perfect eight, is they got every vote, is, now you might say, well, there's another word for that, but yeah, but I like to, you know, do my personal branding. And on the perfect eight, who should have made it that didn't, and who made it that shouldn't have? Does anything jump out at you, Fez?
I don't understand how you can have a kicker be in the top eight. So
what do you mean? Well, hold
Justin
on a second.
Tucker,
hold on.
I gotta take it.
Hold on. What does the perfect eight mean? It means that there wasn't a dissenting vote. That the question was, who was the best two kickers? Because they were going too deep. And no one thought that Gronkowski wasn't one of the two best, or wasn't one of the two best kickers. That means something. It doesn't mean the kicker position is all that impactful or whatever. It means it's undebatable, like on Seinfeld. It's beyond debate that he should be on the list. How could he be on the list?
And I also, I actually think with how much difficult they've made the kicking position in the NFL, the fact that Justin Tucker is still as good as he is, I have no issue with him being unanimous.
Oh, and again, Tucker being the on the perfect eight with that. Yes, thank you for that. That was very smooth, Jonas. I made a mistake, and you just kind of corrected it without correcting it. Oh, man, that's professional level stuff there. I love it. So, but yes, and I do think that anyone that knows about special teams playing the NFL will often say, well, you know, kickers come and go. Well, except for Tucker. I mean, it's not only he's so accurate, but the distance that he can be accurate at.
Yeah.
And we all know that some the games swing on that fourth and four, you know, when you're on the 34-yard line. You know, fourth and four from the 34. Do you punt? You see him punt sometimes. And is there anything more demoralizing than punting there and it going out of the end zone? Right?
Oh, yeah.
And you miss the field goal. As Lombardi says, it's like a turnover. I mean, man, a guy like Tucker that's going to drill it, it means a lot. I mean, Fez, for a guy that likes to talk decimal points, wouldn't you say Tucker is extremely valuable?
Yeah, it's a great point. And also, if you have third and 10 from the 37, a lot of other teams are like, oh, we got to pick up 6 or 7 yards to get our three. If you got Justin Tucker and you're Baltimore, and go for the first down.
That's an interesting point. I mean, there's just so many ways. And it's almost like the guy's from a different planet. I mean, it's not that he has one good season. Like, he never seems to be off.
And he's kicking outdoors. He's kicking in difficult environments, whether it's, you know, Heinz Field or outdoors in Baltimore. Like, you know, the AFC North, there are no dome stadiums in that division. So he's dealing with the elements almost every single time he goes out.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So, RJ, the NFL came out with their all-decade team from the 2010s earlier today, and there were a couple of snubs that have been brought up, one of those being Drew Brees at the quarterback position.
Yeah, see, you're trying right now to delay for time. I'm not having any of it. Yeah, we'll talk about Brees in a couple minutes. This is a forced hot take. Is amongst the perfect eight, as I like to call them. Jonas, I'm starting with you. You're a talk radio host. Start acting like it. Give me a hot take. Who doesn't belong on that the perfect eight list?
I'm not so much going to talk about who doesn't belong, but one guy that I think should have been unanimous is Rob Gronkowski.
Okay, so
I think Gronk has shown enough at all different levels at every single stage, and I just wonder if him not playing this past year is maybe what slided him towards not being unanimous. But I would put Gronk as a unanimous selection.
And remember now, the 10-year span is so key. So Imagine someone who started in 2005, played 10 years to 2015. Does he make the all 2000s team? Probably, unless he's world-class, like the next level, no. Does he make the 10s team? Probably not. So Gronk missing a year, yeah, but boy, his career pretty much spanned a decade.
Yeah.
So
started in 2010, final season.
Yeah. Out of 10 years he played.
Yeah.
So to me, that really speaks to the idea that there's just a certain contingent of old school journalists that if you are, you know, shenanigans, tomfoolery, whatever you want to call it, Gronk was a modern player when it came to being off the field. And I think that all it takes is one. I mean, think about it. Jeter didn't get the, perfect score when it came to the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's one of those things that I think sports journalists by their nature are often contrarian. They often are like, everyone's going one way, I want to go the other. And I think they're old school too. And maybe those guys are, you know, retiring away, but there's, I think there were 40 some voters in this, right?
So sounds about right. Yeah.
All it took was one old school guy saying, don't like the way he is with X or Y, you know, whatever, drinking, whatever it is. And all of a sudden now it's 47 or 48. So it feels explainable, though I agree he should be on the list.
And here's the other thing. We talk about LeBron James, and when they point to LeBron James's greatness, they talk about all the playoff games that he's been in. He's had 239 playoff games. So in essence, he's played three extra seasons on top of his regular season. If you were to apply the same sort of rationale to Gronk, he started 16 playoff games in his career. He's got over 80 catches, over 1,100 yards, and 12 touchdowns, and that's just in the postseason. How he's not unanimous, I don't understand.
Oh, my God. It's like you did research or something. I mean, how did you get that information?
I figured, why not prep for once?
I mean, you're not going to the gym, so you might as well spend the time on something. I mean, you can't do the jailhouse workout nonstop, right?
You can't.
That's Jonas Knox. I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas. So Gronk should be on the perfect date. I tend to agree. I think we understand why he wasn't. Steve Fezzik, he's a better, but doesn't mean he's not a media guy. Fez, who do you got?
Yes, Adrian Peterson does not belong on the top eight list. RJ, a low average running back since the year 2014. He basically missed the 2014 and 2016 years where he was injured, only played four games, got less than 100 yards both years, and he's averaged only 4 yards per carry since the year 2014.
Ooh.
Wow.
You know something? It's funny because you remember AP blew out his knee. He was the first guy to come back from that level injury as quick as he did. And I'm sure you remember that, Jonas.
Yeah.
So in a way, the fact he missed most of the season almost gets mitigated by the fact he came back so fast, at least in people's memories. But it doesn't change that he missed that season. I didn't remember that he missed that 16 year you're saying, Fez. How many carries did he have that year? If you can look it up,
yeah, 37 carries, 72 yards
on the whole season.
Yes, 1.9 yards per carry, and then was injured, missed the year with Minnesota.
Let's agree to this: that from 17 on, so 17, 18, 19, he's exceeded your expectations.
This might be a vendetta I have against him because somehow he's beaten me on individual bets. Whenever I play this dude under, he finds miracles to be able to go over by like 2 yards. But 3.5, 4.2, and 4.3 yards per carry.
At least you don't make it all about you, right?
And put that in perspective. The NFL average is 4.3 for running backs.
You know, I won't name this because it's kind of a competitor, and I'm not gonna, you know, I just don't want to bash, but. There was a dude, you know, and I can't even remember what the event was, but it was like one of the biggest events of the year about a year ago. And he was saying, oh, well, you know, I remember it was this personal thing, and it really wasn't personal. You know, it shouldn't have been personal. You know, it's almost like, you know, JFK got shot. It's like, you know, I saw him once in Wheeling, West Virginia. It's like, that isn't the time to say that, right? It's about him, you know. So Fez, though, it's always about some bet he lost 4 years ago. He can't remember. The joke at the beginning of the show was it took him 3 tries to figure out if he had a Mercedes or a BMW. So I said, did you take the Mercedes or BMW? Is he can remember every little $300 prop bet he lost, but he can't remember that, Fez. Has any doctor ever figured this out?
Rain Man Syndrome.
That's Fezzik. We're Straight Out of Vegas.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
We've been talking about omissions or snubs. What are some of yours?
Yeah, and we're talking about the perfect eight, and I do think it's noteworthy. You look at the Ravens. They have an offensive guard on there and their kicker, 2 of the 8 greats, best 8 in theory from the decade. Tells you how Baltimore builds their team. Usually it's the positions that people don't focus as much on, the average fan. Baltimore, a lot of success, won Super Bowl during the decade. I think Luke Kuechly probably omitted from the perfect eight unfairly. I mean, one, he's the epitome of football in a way. His toughness and, you know, he's like a old Bears linebacker type. But it felt like there was a ton of consistency. And though for as many concussions and stuff, he, you know, it didn't seem like the games missed would have been the issue. So I like Kuechly more so to be on the perfect eight. And I also think Fitzgerald from Arizona. I mean, think about it. That Super Bowl, you know, was the, you know, I guess in a way the pinnacle for him. And that was outside the decade. But,
yeah,
man, I mean, I know the last couple years he hasn't been as good as the best, but – I mean, if you really think of consistency, I mean, could he be the best receiver of the deck? I mean, if you really think about it, I think it's a reasonable debate.
Yeah, that's the one that I also would have argued maybe should have been unanimous, just based on the fact that midway through his career, or actually later on in his career, he switched positions. He went to a slot receiver, which is completely different from what he had played throughout his entire career, college and the NFL, and he continues to put up huge numbers.
So tomorrow we'll talk about Drew Brees. That deserves its own segment, I think, because it's an interesting debate. Him and Aaron Rodgers, it's the ultimate debate. And we'll also look at their stats, because I think their stats really tell a story about a trend line on Aaron Rodgers that people don't realize down. And also Brees not going down like people think. That's going to be very interesting. But I promised it. Here's the odds on the NBA 2K. Right now, the favorite, Patrick Beverley. +225 to win it all. Devin Booker, second favorite. Derek Jones Jr., third, +450. Trae Young, only top 4 seed, I think, to advance, +500. And then DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah.
See, I'm not a professional like you, Jonas. He's at the back at 7-1. By the way, quickly, anyone that played Milwaukee. So think about this a second. All those players that could have picked the teams. 4 times Milwaukee got picked to be played, 4-0 straight up, won every game by double digits. A little trend for NBA 2K.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.